The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 12, texts number 13 and 14, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on June 3rd, 2018, in Krishna Balaram Temple, Mauritius.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sarabhutanam metakarana evacha nirmamanadahan kara samaduka sukachama santushasatatam yogi yatatam dhanishchayaha mayapitam manobudir yoma bhakta samepriyaha. Translation and purport. By His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, one who is not envious, but as a kind friend to all living entities, who does not think himself a proprietor and is free from false ego, who is equal in both happiness and distress, who is tolerant, always satisfied, self-controlled, and engaged in devotional service with determination, his mind and intelligence fixed on me. Such a devotee of mine is very dear to me. Well, how would you like to be dear to Krishna? Would you like to be dear to Krishna?
Oh, yes.
This is what you have to do. You just follow this instruction, you'll become very, very, very dear to Krishna. So we should really all try to learn how to do this, even though we're not there yet. We should learn how to do this, because if we do, we'll become intimately connected with Krishna, with Radharani, with Lord Chaitanya, with all the acharyas. It's a very powerful position. What is it called? Krishna consciousness. Yes, it's Krishna. This is real Krishna consciousness, not the kid stuff, but the real mature Krishna consciousness. You see, there's kid level and there's mature level. Right now we're at the kid level, you know, we're in kindergarten. But this is graduate level Krishna consciousness. So we are not meant to remain kindergartners in Krishna consciousness. We are meant to become mature like this that Krishna is talking about. Because when we do so, Krishna becomes present, actually. We ought to be able to see Krishna with every minute. Not just on the altar, but wherever we go, we will see Krishna is with us. Prabhupada even said, you can eat with Krishna. Now we're feeding him, but in the highest level, you can take the shot with Krishna on the perfectional stage. Once you regain that pure bhakti stage. Anyway, let's read the purport. Get more nectar, Prabhupada. I'm coming again. Coming again to the point of pure devotional service. The Lord is describing the transcendental qualifications of a pure devotee in these two verses. A pure devotee is never disturbed in any circumstances, nor is he envious of anyone, nor does a devotee become his enemy, his enemy's enemy. He thinks, this person is acting as my enemy due to my own past misdeeds, so it is better to suffer than to protest. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.8, it is stated, Tatte nukampam susumikshabano evadmagritam vapakam. Whenever a devotee is in distress or has fallen into difficulty, he thinks that this is the Lord's mercy upon him. He thinks, Thanks to my past misdeeds, I should suffer far, far greater than I am suffering now. So it is by the mercy of the Supreme Lord, I'm not getting all the punishment I am due. I'm just getting a little by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, he is always calm, quiet, and patient, despite many distressful conditions. The devotee is always kind to everyone, even to his enemy. Nirmama means that the devotee does not attach much importance to the pains and pleasures, the pains and trouble, pertaining to the body, because he knows perfectly well that he is not the material body. He is not identified with the body, therefore he is free from the conception of false ego and is equipoised in happiness and distress. He is tolerant and is satisfied with whatever comes by the grace of the Supreme Lord. He does not endeavor much to achieve something of great difficulty, therefore he is always joyful. He is a completely perfect mystic because he is fixed in the instructions received from the spiritual master, and because his senses are controlled, he is determined. He is not swayed by false arguments because no one can lead him from the fixed determination of devotional service. He is fully conscious that Krishna is the eternal Lord, so no one can disturb him. All these qualifications enable him to fix his mind and intelligence entirely on the Supreme Lord. Such a standard of devotional service is undoubtedly very rare, but the devotee becomes situated in that stage by following the regulative principles of devotional service. Furthermore, the Lord says that such a devotee is very dear to him, for the Lord is always pleased with all of his activities in full Krishna consciousness.
Wow. So this is a pretty exciting verse, actually. Very exciting to think that we can actually achieve such a state of consciousness just by following the regulative principles of devotional service. These are called the regulative principles of freedom. We may feel restricted sometimes by the regulative principles. Well, I can't do this and I can't do that. But they are not at all negative. Actually, these regulative principles liberate us. They bring them to this position, as Prabhupada says here, such a standard of devotional service is undoubtedly very rare. Does that mean we can't achieve it because it's rare? By the mercy of Guru and Krishna, each and every one of us can achieve this very rare state of pure bhakti. So you have your choice. You can go after pure bhakti, or you can say, well, I'd just rather remain in the level of karma mishra bhakti, enjoying a little sense gratification, a few movies here and there, a little Hare Krishna mantra here and there, go to the temple, go to sense gratification. It's your choice. You can mix it, or you can make it pure. So you have to understand the benefit of making it pure by reading this purport, you see. If you make it pure, just like my wife and I, we flew all the way from London. There were so many movies available. The 12-hour flight, there's so many movies. How many movies have they watched? Zero. And they're just in those damn movies. A bunch of lusty people, you know, having sense gratification. Who needs it? We have a greater movie going on. It's called Krishna's Pastimes. You know there's a cinema in your heart? If you go deep enough into the Hare Krishna mantra, you turn on the cinema within your heart, you can see Krishna's leelas going on right there in your heart. And this is better than Hollywood, because actually these cinemas are so amazing, you can actually enter into them as a participant. And then liberates you. You can actually enter into the pastimes of Krishna as a participant. Even in your present body. Of course, that's a very rare stage, but the point is, there's all kinds of nectar awaiting us if we take this process seriously. All kinds of nectar available. So don't think this is just some, another temple. There's so many temples, so many churches, so many synagogues, so many mosques. Not just another temple. This is my neighborhood temple, so I go to it. You have to come beyond that level of understanding. This is the highest truth. This is the highest knowledge, the highest truth. And this process that we are teaching you here, actually we're simply little servants of Prabhupada, that's all we really are. This, what Prabhupada is teaching here through his books and through those devotees who are purely preaching his message, is how we can get back to our original identities. I was blessed with the most amazing verse to speak on this morning in Phoenix. Prabhupada is talking about our sarupas in the spiritual world and how we can get back to them. Each one of us has an identity in the pastimes of Krishna in the spiritual world. We are not residents of this material world. And they ask you when you fill out the forms for immigration, what is your citizenship? I like to put USA, but that's a joke. Actually, each one of us is a citizen of the spiritual world. Right now, we're just out of our home country right now, in a foreign place. The material world is a foreign country. We are actually all citizens of the spiritual world, and we're in a foreign country right now. So now that we're here, Prabhupada always said, make the best use of a bad bargain. What's the best use of this bad bargain? Well, take initiation, become fully surrendered to your Guru Maharaj, follow the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, and get back to your original identity. And at the same time, as we make that revolution within our heart, we're also instructed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to make an external revolution. Revolution within, revolution without. And this gets really exciting, actually. I was just reading in the car on the way here. I was wondering, well, I had this, did Prabhupada ever say that the whole world was waiting for Krishna consciousness? I was wondering. So on my smartphone, I have the database, so I typed in, whole world is waiting, and sure enough, in January 1973, in Mumbai, India, Prabhupada was saying the whole world is simply waiting to be awakened in Krishna consciousness. Now, does that give us an opportunity? Or not? What do you think? If we are the Krishna consciousness movement, and the whole world is simply waiting to be awakened to Krishna consciousness, does that give us some kind of an opportunity? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Everybody agrees yes?
Yes.
What about in the back? You agree? If we are Krishna conscious and the whole world is waiting to become Krishna conscious, does that give us some kind of an opportunity? What about in the back? What do you think in the back? There's silent in the back. Can you all speak English back there? Anybody speaks English in the back? Raise your hand. Nobody raised their hand. They don't speak. There's only one speaks English back there. No, a few more. Okay. So the point is, we are all blessed right now with the greatest opportunity in the history. Because Prabhupada has come, he has brought Lord Chaitanya's movement outside of India. It was only within India until Prabhupada brought it outside. Some other godbrothers tried, but they weren't successful. Pand Maharaj tried. But Prabhupada now has brought Krishna Bhakti outside of the holy land of India, and he's made it a worldwide phenomenon, Krishna consciousness movement. And whether they know it or not, the whole world is actually waiting for it. We go on Harinam, it doesn't look like they're waiting for it, does it? They go, you know. But actually, they are. They're just very much asleep. It was actually shocking to see their faces on Harinam yesterday. They're so covered by the modes. Oh my God. People are so much covered by the modes of nature. But the thing is, the more we become purified in our own sadhana, the more we become empowered to awaken them.
So there's two reasons we should become pure devotees of Krishna. One, for our own benefit. Because when you're a pure devotee, you're swimming in an ocean of unlimited nectar at every minute. Not only an ocean of unlimited nectar, but an ocean of ever-increasing nectar at every minute when you become a pure devotee. But on the other side of the coin, the more you awaken pure bhakti within your heart, the more you become empowered to impregnate the living entities who are suffering in the cycle of birth and death with Krishna consciousness. It's called empowered preacher. You see, the more you have Krishna, the more you can give Krishna. And the more you have Krishna, the more you can give Krishna. That's what I meant to say. The more you have Him, the more you can give Him. Yeah, that's right. So then, how do we become fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness? That's the key. That's why we have a society for Krishna consciousness. Because one sangat sanjayate kama, one's consciousness is developed according to the company that he keeps. If you associate with devotees, you'll become a devotee by that association. So devotee association is a very, very important thing. The more you associate with devotees, the more your Krishna consciousness becomes manifested. And the more that your Krishna consciousness is manifested, the more you are blessing others by your association. So how long does the lecture go for? 4:30? 4:30? Okay. Maybe there's some questions we can try to answer them. Okay. In the kids' level of Krishna consciousness, we are easily disturbed. This has an impact on our japa, how to overcome them. Well, don't remain on the kids' level. That's all. You have to have the determination that now I must become the pure devotee of Krishna. What's the difficulty of having determination? You think you're going to lose something? Are you afraid of losing something if you fully surrender to Krishna? All you have to do is say, my dear Krishna, please, my dear mother Radharani, and my dear Krishna, please bless me that now I can fully absorb myself in your devotional service. Sincerely beg them. And there's a special prayer for doing that. You know, everyone know that prayer? Begging Radha and Krishna for pure bhakti. What's that prayer? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So as much as possible, chant Hare Krishna. 16 rounds is only the beginning. 16 rounds is the minimum. It's not that you have to stop. You can keep chanting all day long if you want, 24 hours a day. In the kirtan and just while you're walking down the street. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Or you can pray your own language. My dear Krishna, please bless me, I can be a pure devotee. Please help me get out of Maya. Please save me from sense gratification. Please let me become fully pleasing to my spiritual master and the great acharyas. You see, you can keep this thing going. Calling out, calling out, calling for the mercy. There's a saying, the duck who quacks the loudest gets the most crumbs. So the more you beg Krishna for the mercy, the more you're going to get the mercy. You should always, 24 hours a day, be in the mood of begging Krishna for his mercy. Always. At every minute. Why not? Is there any reason not to? You're always in the mood of begging Krishna for his mercy, 24 hours, that mercy is going to be flowing upon you. As Prabhupada said, you like torrents of rain in the monsoon season, that mercy will rain upon you. You constantly beg for it. So why not? Why not be a beggar? You say, a lot of money a beggar, I'm pretty advanced, you know, I'm a business and I have a degree, why should I be a beggar? Well, how did Prabhupada present himself? The most insignificant beggar. So you think you're better than Prabhupada?
Should we think we're better than Prabhupada? No. If Prabhupada's an insignificant beggar, we should become beggars. That's all. Begging for the mercy. Begging for the mercy. Please, Guru Maharaj. Please, Srila Prabhupada. Please, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Please, Sri Shivada and Krishna. Please, Goswamis. Please, Acharyas. Please, bless me for the awakening of pure love of God within my heart. Please, save me from this lust. Sometimes devotees have trouble with lust. You see? Sometimes they have trouble with lust. Well, if you beg Krishna to save you, he will. You better beg. Beg Krishna. Next question. How to always be self-satisfied? Very simple. Always try to satisfy Krishna. Let my every thought, my every word, my every deed in all times, places, and circumstances be unlimitedly pleasing to my spiritual master, to Srila Prabhupada, to Lord Chaitanya, to Radha and Krishna, then you'll be satisfied, self-satisfied. Don't try to satisfy yourself. Try to satisfy them. If the hand tries to satisfy himself independently by squeezing the food in the fingers, will it get any nourishment? Zero. If the hand tries to satisfy the belly by giving the food to the stomach, the hand will get all the nutrition it needs. So you just try to satisfy Krishna, and then your satisfaction will come unlimitedly. When you satisfy Krishna, you will experience unlimited satisfaction within your heart. Guaranteed. Or double your money back. Of course, he didn't give any money, did he? Sometimes two devotees may have different ways of doing things. How to resolve with any clash that may arise? I was just asked this question in the email too. What about husband and wife? How do you live peacefully, husband and wife? There's an interesting story. My godbrother Tejas, you know Tejas? My godbrother Tejas, he was one of the early disciples in India with Prabhupada. And it was a very tight-knit family. There was just a few disciples and with Prabhupada. And it was a very tight-knit family. So Tejas's wife, Tejasini. Tejas and Tejasini would often have arguments. And then Tejasini would just go away. And Prabhupada would have to bring her back. Prabhupada was involved in all the family clashes. It was a very intimate thing. So Prabhupada said, "Why is there a difficulty? Why does your wife keep running away?" He asked Tejas. He said, "Prabhupada, she doesn't do what I say." And Prabhupada said this, "She doesn't do what you say, then you should do what she says." In this way, live peacefully. So there you go, husbands. But only if it's Krishna conscious, okay? But within Krishna consciousness, if she doesn't do what you say, then you should do what she says. And the same principle between any devotees, you know. The point is, we're servants. We're not lords here. We're all servants. Don't try to be the lord. Always try to be the servant. And when you do that, then we'll have perfect peace and harmony in our relationships here. Okay. Can you please tell us what is Jagannath Astakam? It's 8 prayers glorifying Lord Jagannath. Kadachit kalindi katadipina sangita karavo mudabirina ribadana kalalmas madamadupa Rama Shambhu Brahma Marapati Ganesh Archita Pado Jagannatha Swami Nayana Padagami Bhavadume. Yeah, the most beautiful prayers, actually, Jagannath Astakam. Pastime of Jagannath? That'll be another time, I'll tell them. What is the Purushottama month? Well, Prabhupada never even mentions it in the Veda base that I found anywhere.
So for me, every month is Purushottam month. Mm-hmm. Purushottam month means increasing Krishna consciousness, right? So for me, every month is Purushottam month. I'm always trying to increase my Krishna consciousness. So, but if you're not increasing it all the time, at least you should do it during Purushottam month. How Hare Krishna people do last rites? Like someone's getting ready to die? Well, it's happening all the time. I've never administered them. I know what we do. The most important thing is you have a kirtan for the soul as they're departing. That's the most important thing. What you do after they're gone is not so important. There are some etiquettes. I'm not familiar with them. I haven't done them. But I know the most important thing is while they're leaving, you must have a kirtan. I know my father, who was not a devotee, but he was very sympathetic, and he helped very much me in my devotional service. I'm eternally indebted to dear old dad. He did a lot to help me and facilitate me in my devotional service, even though he wasn't directly a devotee. And he was in a retirement home like 10 miles away from our house. My brother, who also lives in the same town as me, brought Dad up there when he was getting ready to leave and put him in a home actually not far from us. So Bob called, my brother called, that Dad's getting ready to die. So we jumped in that car, went over, had a kirtan. And sure enough, during the kirtan, he left his body. So that's the most important thing. You have a kirtan. Have a kirtan. That's the most important thing you should do. The other details of the etiquettes, they're not that important. The important thing is the cure. We know you've been practicing Krishna consciousness for more than four decades. Almost five decades now. Almost five. After so many years, can you tell us if you are dear to Krishna? Well, we're all dear to Krishna. Come on. We're all dear to Krishna. And this announcement's, everyone's dear to Krishna. It's not very encouraging after so many years. We're all dear to Krishna. Now the fact is that every one of Prabhupada's disciples are very dear to him. If you're dear to the pure devotee, you're definitely dear to Krishna. When I get a letter from Prabhupada, I got many letters, my dear Sankarsan. So I know I'm dear to Prabhupada. So if I'm dear to Prabhupada, even as a young brahmachari, I'm a dear to Prabhupada. So anybody who takes this process up, even in your first 10 minutes, you immediately become dear. As soon as you say, now I want to become devoted to Krishna, then you're automatically dear, already dear. You're dear to Krishna. You don't have to wait 50 years to become dear to Krishna. You immediately become dear to Krishna. In Harinam, you observe that Mauritians are very much caught up in the modes. Prabhupada said Mauritius may become the first Krishna conscious country in the world. How do we untrap them from the modes? It's very simple. The more you become Krishna conscious, the more you become empowered. Here's one of the most amazing quotes in all of Prabhupada's books. You ready? He says, if one becomes absolutely perfect in his chanting of Hare Krishna without any offense, he becomes Jagat Guru. And under his influence, the whole world becomes Krishna conscious. Wow. My God. My God. That is powerful. Well, what's holding us back from making this the first Krishna conscious country in the world? Our Nam Aparads. That's what's holding us back. So kick out those Nam Aparads with boots. Kick them out, become a pure chanter of the holy names, and even if one of us here in Mauritius can actually become to that level, that one devotee can make the whole island Krishna conscious. Why the whole island? The whole damn universe! It just takes one devotee to become completely pure, you see. So one could say, well, Prabhupada was a pure devotee, why didn't it happen when he was here? A similar question was asked by Vishnu John Swami, who made me a devotee, by the way.
of Prabhupada in Los Angeles one time. That Bhakti Vinod said he was leaving this world with his work unfinished. What did that mean? He asked Srila Prabhupada. What did Bhakti Vinod Thakur mean when he said that? Prabhupada said, he is pure Vaishnava, he can immediately live in the whole world. But he has left it unfinished so that we have some service to do. So in a similar way, Prabhupada had the power and potency to liberate every living entity in this whole universe. But he left behind, he left his work unfinished so that we have some service to do. Now it's up to us to pick up where the great acharyas have left off and to push this movement further and further and further until the whole world becomes Krishna conscious. And as I mentioned a few minutes ago, Prabhupada, I'll remind you again, Prabhupada in Mumbai, they called it Bombay in those days, said that the whole world is waiting to be awakened to Krishna consciousness. So therefore you become, I'm telling him, talking to myself also, we should all become endeavor like anything, begging, begging, please Krishna, please Prabhupada, please Guru Maharaj, please bless me, I can now become a pure chant of the holy names so that I can make this world Krishna conscious. That determination, that intense begging, we all must develop. And then you'll see magic happen all around you. You will. We will. Could you please explain kindly more about the nectar? This reminds me, I was back in 72, there was a wonderful preaching initiative called the Road Show. We had a rock opera. And Prabhupada endorsed it. Prabhupada actually liked it. He attended our... I was a member. I was one of the singers and dancers in the rock opera. Prabhupada actually attended our concert in Pittsburgh and he applauded after every song. Actually, in those days, devotees didn't applaud. That's something only karmis do. No one applauded. But only one member of the audience applauded, and that was Prabhupada. He applauded after every song that we did. So we had one song in our rock opera. The nectar of devotion is an ocean of bliss. Can you taste the nectar? Can you taste the nectar? I never forgot that. So, what about this nectar? What about it? Well, I can only talk about what I've read in the scriptures because I'm not tasting much yet myself. A little bit of it. Few drops. But actually, that nectar is an ocean of unlimited bliss. There's so much nectar in one pure utterance of Hare Krishna mantra. That nectar can drown not only this universe, but every universe in the unlimited number of universes in this material world can all be totally inundated with oceans of transcendental nectar simply from one pure utterance of Krishna. That's a little bit about the nectar. How do I stop being fault-finding? You shouldn't stop being a fault-finder. You should... There is one person that is very much full of faults. And now you should become a very heavy, heavy duty fault finder of that person. That is you. I'm talking to myself also. The more, if you want to, we should all be fault finders. Because the fact is, we are honeycombed with faults. If we weren't, we would see Krishna at every minute. As Prabhupada told me, now you disqualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. A direct order from Prabhupada to me, you see. So why can't I see Krishna face to face as Prabhupada ordered me to do? Because I'm full of faults, that's why. Lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, envy, you name it, I've got it. Right? That's all of our positions. So you should be a very pukka, heavy-duty fault finder of yourself. And then when you do that, you'll learn to appreciate the great saintly qualities of the other devotees, you see. But if you're a nitpicker, finding fault with this devotee, fault with that devotee, you won't go back to Godhead. I guarantee you, those who just want to find fault with devotees, they don't go back to Godhead. However, those who are very seriously cultivating Krishna consciousness within their own hearts, who are very seriously working to get rid of their own faults, are qualified to find faults in others. That's called spiritual master or senior devotees. Senior devotees are qualified by dint of their own sincerity and their own more interest in finding their own faults than the faults of others, in pointing out the faults of others. So we should learn to take advantage of when a senior devotee points out our faults. We should be very grateful and not defensive. Why do we have a tendency to satisfy ourselves? Because our actual nature is to satisfy Krishna. But we take that original pure state of wanting to satisfy Krishna and pervertedly apply it to ourselves. You see, that's the problem. So we have to take our tendency to satisfy and give it back to Krishna. You understand? Then we'll become satisfied. If you try to satisfy yourself, you will never be satisfied. But when you try to satisfy Krishna, you will find unlimited satisfaction. So in that way, you can satisfy yourself by trying to satisfy Krishna, you see. So it's not wrong to want to satisfy yourself. You have to know the art of how to do it. The way you satisfy yourself is giving satisfaction to Krishna. When you give satisfaction to Krishna, you give satisfaction not only to Krishna and to yourself, but you actually give satisfaction to all living entities throughout all of existence, whether they know it or not. So just try to learn the art of giving satisfaction to Krishna. That will give you unlimited satisfaction. Why does sleep come while chanting? Because we don't have any taste. We're more attracted to sleeping than we are to chanting. That's a fact. We have taste for sleeping, but not for chanting. Tamaguna, we think it's very nice. Ah. That's our disease. Because we're in a diseased state. It is necessary to take vows during Purushottama month. I already mentioned that for me every month is Purushottama. So we should always be taking vows and reaffirming vows at every minute during Purushottama month and all the time. How can we satisfy Krishna? Well, satisfy your Guru Maharaj. Say, why do I need a Guru Maharaj? I'm just satisfying Krishna. Well, what does Krishna say in the Hare Pranama? Ye me bhakta jana partha, na me bhakta pate jana, mad bhakta nam chi ye bhakta, te me bhakta tama mata. My dear Arjuna, the one who is my devotee, na me bhakta, he is not my devotee. But the devotee is my devotee. He is my devotee. So that's how you satisfy Krishna. Just try to learn how to satisfy your spiritual master. Now I had a lot of correspondence with Srila Prabhupada. Got many letters from him. But the one time Prabhupada expressed the most pleasure with me was when I talked about how the people were suffering without Krishna consciousness and how we could give them Krishna consciousness. So from that I learned this is the key how to satisfy Krishna. You take up the mood of spreading Krishna consciousness, wanting to help the poor people who are suffering without Krishna consciousness. This is confirmed in the Gita. Krishna says there's no one more dear to me than the preacher. Nor will there ever be anyone more dear. So just try to take up this mood of delivering the suffering people of this world from their miseries by spreading this Krishna consciousness movement. And I guarantee you, Krishna will shower you with torrents of rain
like the monsoon season.
Hare Krishna devotees shave their heads, and some leave a little at the back of their head. No, all of them do, or they're supposed to. Kindly explain the significance of it. Prabhupada said that Krishna can grab you by the and pull you back together. Of course, your body, it's a simile, obviously, because the material body doesn't come. Now this marks it. Oh, he is a nice seeker. This little boy is a very nice seeker. This marks us as Vaishnava. This is part of our insignia. You see. Tilak, Kanti Mala, and the Sika. I remember when we joined, the original members, no Indians joined in the beginning. The only people who came in the beginning were the hippies. And we all had long hair down to our shoulders. And boy, so many long sikhas in ISKCON in those days. Everyone had long sikhas down to our shoulder, big, huge, long sikhas. It was quite attractive, actually, all those long sikhas from all the hippies. So, yeah, the sikhas are very nice. Yes. We love sikhas. It's very ecstatic to have sikha. Very, very ecstatic. It's our Vaishnava insignia. So we have about 1 minute left. I think the question bell has run dry. And I can just kind of do a wrap up here. I'm just absolutely delighted to be here. I just really feel like I'm in Vrindavan Forest. There's a forest, there's Krishna and Balaram. I really feel like I'm in Vrindavan Forest. It's amazing to read about and read the Krishna book, all about the pastimes of Vrindavan. Just amazing things going on in Vrindavan. Krishna's flute, especially. When Krishna played that flute, oh my God, it was so amazing. Everybody was completely, even 33 million demigods bowed their heads when they heard Krishna's flute. 33 million demigods bowed their head, and they were astounded because the demigods have some pretty sophisticated musicians. The Gandharvas, they can play some pretty sophisticated musical arrangements. But the demigods are expert in musical arrangements, but they. The musical arrangements of Krishna's flute playing were far beyond their comprehension. They could not even comprehend how Krishna could make such amazing musical arrangements on the flute. So in this way, if we meditate on these pastimes of Krishna, you see the name of Krishna, the pastimes of Krishna, the devotees of Krishna, just somehow or other absorb yourself more and more and more and more in Krishna consciousness 24 hours a day, and you'll be living in the spiritual world. Even though externally you're in Mauritius, within your heart you'll actually be in Goloka Vrindavan with Krishna and Radharani and the gopis and the cowherd boys and all the acharyas and the goswamis. You can live with them at every minute within your heart if you seriously cultivate Krishna consciousness as your only business. I repeat, your only business. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.